If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since we're about to talk workouts, the Tennessee Titans and Shedeur Sanders agreed to cancel their private workout. So that's not going to happen, Jeremy. We ain't going to draft you, son.
Yeah. We ain't trying to waste your time, man. Go ahead and do you.
If we draft the quarterback, it's going to be Cam.
Yeah, it ain't going to be you.
So that is now canceled. The Ravens hosted UCLA linebacker Carson Schwesinger on Monday. Would you support them getting a linebacker late in the first round?
Ed, what about you?
I think we could use another linebacker, but I just think that the safety is more critical. Although one of the names that has come up, and it just Isaiah Simmons is a free agent.
The kid out of Clemson. That
He's Clemson. He's big. He's like 6'4", 230, 240.
Mm-hmm.
He's an athletic freak, and I think he'd fit in great in our secondary.
Was he drafted by the Raiders?
Giants, I think.
The Giants, okay. So it was another one of those guys that had a ton of talent that we really didn't see it kind of show out at the NFL level like you expected. But
I think you can get Schwesinger in the second round.
You might be able to. So here's
he got drafted by the Cardinals and went to the Giants.
Okay, that's what it was. But you can look at certain situations with the Ravens, and I hope it's not a cop-out. I feel like I say it every year. I'm comfortable with whoever they take. Like, The year they drafted Lamar, I wanted them to do some other things. Like, I'm like, hey, you can improve this team. Why are you spending money on a quarterback? And boy, was I wrong about that one. You know, like they have drafted extremely well. So I try not to question it because I think they draft better than any team in the league, personally. So if they drafted a linebacker, I'm thinking there's good reason why they like this guy. But I agree with you about the UCLA linebacker that he's going to be there at the back end of the first round, but I also think he's going to be in the second round.
Yeah.
But will he be at a spot where you can take him? You know what I mean? Like, would you have to trade up in the second round if you covet him? The other thing that people have to realize is that the Ravens are going to bring in about, 25 to 30 kids for interviews?
Yeah.
And some of them are just smoke screens because they don't want you knowing everybody they're interested in.
And I agree with that. I don't think they are in love with everybody that they bring to the table. There's no doubt about that. But I don't want this guy in the first round.
I get it.
I'd rather you trade back to maybe early second round and gamble on him being there then and pick up an extra pick than you to take him in the first round.
I think that's probably more likely. But, fans don't like it when you trade out of the first round and grab a second round pick as your first pick.
Because it doesn't convenience them. They've been, especially when you pick number 27 and you've been up all night. That's what that's about.
Yeah.
If you pick number 7 and you trade back, because you don't need anything up that high, then they don't mind as much. You pick number 25 or lower, I've been watching all night and you trade, that's when fans get upset.
Yeah. I mean, and you can kind of understand it, though, a little bit, because you've been wanting to see this. This is what you've been waiting for. And it is a little anticlimactic when you've been waiting the entire time and all of a sudden you see your team trade out of it and you're like, man, I just wasted my whole night watching nothing.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Yeah, I mean, this kid is a pretty good football player. He is. There's no doubt about that. I don't want to take anything away from him. I just don't see him as meeting a need, filling a void, Ed, that the Ravens need.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of soft on it, went toward, you know, back to safeties. I just don't see it either. I mean, it's just not as critical, in my opinion, because we have other issues. Not a lot of them. They still got a great roster, but, you know, if you go win a, you know, an enviable position where you don't have a ton of problems, you just got a couple of concerns that you really want to fill.
And some call him, you know, they say he's a lighter type linebacker with a thin frame. Wonder whether or not he can hold up. And Jeremy, I saw somebody describe him as a one-hit wonder.
I mean, again, like we've seen guys labeled this, and the hard part is for anybody out there that if you didn't watch UCLA this year, they were more, in years past, I've always felt about them being an offensive-minded team.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they were more defensive-minded this year. And it's not like I can sit here and tell you that that linebacker is going to be something special at the next level or he's going to be nothing. I've seen him play, but I haven't watched him exclusively enough to sit here and say, hey, I don't like him. I've read enough mock drafts to see where they expect him to go. But even then, sometimes all it takes is one team to do something you don't expect. Thank you, Raiders. And then the whole draft changes, right? Like, I don't know how many times they've drafted somebody that no one had in their top 10 in the top 10. It's just that's what they do.
Yeah.
Even with Al gone, they do it.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Norny Show on the Fan. I want to see DB. I want to see pass rusher. I want to see getting out of the first round. In that order, Ed. DB, pass rusher, get out of the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to see both. I mean, I'd like to see pass rusher more than DB. I just need to see a premier pass rusher on this roster. But
I just don't know whether one's going to be down. I think you got a better chance of getting a better chance of getting a better than serviceable DB at pick number 27 than you do a better than serviceable pass rusher.
It just seems like there's a lot of really good safeties in this draft.
Yep.
So you'll be at your position. And back to just to Jeremy's comment, I always thought of UCLA as an offensive team too.
Mm-hmm.
But also remember, we had the Kenny Young and Miles Jack came out of there. I mean, I know it's like 10 years ago, but they produced some linebackers.
No, they've had some guys. Miles Jack was the guy that everybody was sold on. Remember, he had the injury, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's slipping, and the Ravens didn't draft him. Yeah. He turned out to be a decent player, but definitely not what everybody expected him to be.
And I saw Pat Ricard put him on his ass twice when they had those joint practices. Mm.
Jeremy Collins, Daily Line at 9:30. Don't go anywhere. Want to find out what kind of money you can make tonight. But on the other side, O's, Diamondbacks, great game, great results for the team, not for a certain player. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he came out with a little bit of shoulder fatigue. So, you know, we're going to get some tests done, and we'll hopefully, keeping our fingers crossed that everything's okay there, because he was absolutely cruising and so efficient and moving the ball to both sides of the plate. But yeah, we're hoping for the best tomorrow.
Listen, we won 5-1, played great defense, had a great offensive game. Hadley called a great game. It was a good day at the yard. Unfortunately, had a little bit of fatigue, but we'll see how it feels tomorrow. That's really it.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You heard Brandon Hyde, then Zach Eflin, who left the game at the six innings in Arizona with shoulder fatigue. And as Steve Molesky pointed out right after the 8 o'clock segment, during the 8 o'clock segment, Ed, he had this issue last year. I don't know whether that's a good thing. Oh, he had it before. Mm-hmm. He'll get past it. Or it's a bad thing. Dude, he had this before. He has it again. I don't know how to look at the fact that he had it before.
Yeah, I usually look at it in a negative light because when guys have had it, I'm not saying that's the case here, hopefully, but we've had this, you know, where, oh, he had that last season, you know, lat injury, and, oh, it's repeated itself. And, you know, we've seen them come back and bite people where they just can't seem to shake it. It's a nagging, you know, chronic injury. So I'm just hoping that's not the case here because we need Eflin very badly.
Especially when you look at this rotation, Ed's kind of pointed it out. We don't know, like, Kramer hasn't looked good. Morton hasn't looked good. I mean, there are aspects of their games when you look deeper at the numbers, you're going, okay, but I still need to see this. Like, it's been two games, which isn't enough to sit here and judge somebody on, but I saw Charlie Morton all of last year, the year before that, and it seems like that star was fading. But we shall see. I told you, I think he comes out and pitches a gem tonight, which I know would shock everybody if it happened. But you'd be lying if you said it wasn't alarming looking at the starting pitching and what it would look like without Eflin.
I remember this because I was up there in New York in August, I believe it was. Yeah, when they put him on a 15-day IL for shoulder soreness because he was supposed to start the series finale and against the Mets, and he got scratched. And at that time, he was rolling. He was 4-0 for the Orioles in four starts with a 2.13 earned run average. He was doing well. And then all of a sudden, they put him on the shelf with the shoulder soreness.
Yeah. And again, we don't know what the extent of this is. That's the hard part with this is, you're wondering, is it just arm fatigue or shoulder fatigue, whatever you want to call it? Because we've seen that happen, the dead arm thing with some pitchers. I mean, I don't know, is that best case scenario or is it just something he felt a little uncomfortable and he's like, hey, I think I should come out now? Because, man, you guys didn't even waste time to go after Hyde for taking him out with 72 pitches.
It was unreal, man. What I'm seeing, and the first thing, I'm not going to lie to you guys, the first thing I thought was, is he okay?
Yeah.
And then shortly after, we found out that no, he wasn't okay. I mean, people couldn't wait. They were like, Ed, you remember the scene in Airplane where somebody says he's hysterical, got to smack him, and then there was this long line, people with baseball bats. Yeah, I felt like Hyde was the guy sitting in the chair. People were lining up for him.
Yeah. The other part of this is when we talked to Molesky about it, like, again, you have a very analytical team. I still think there's a lot of people that don't understand lefty-righty matchups. Like, you could look at one of these players and go, hey, this guy is a great player. What are his numbers against lefties if he's a left-handed batter? I still go from the simple fact that you have Jackson Holliday and Kierstead. Kierstead was supposed to get more at-bats because Kowser's out. He should be out there every effing day that there's a right-hander on the mound and when there's some left-handers, in my opinion.
Jeremy, you go through, as a coach, and you coach too, Ed, you go through game plans over and over and over again. And the players have to execute the game plan based on what you practiced. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Hyde has a game plan. You have all of these analysts that's working for this team. You have analysts that's basically your front office. I remember when I flew down to Sarasota, I was on a plane with one of the guys on the analyst team. And he was going down there, to put together a game plan, essentially. I think a lot of times we beat up on Brandon Hyde. I think the split-second in-game decisions are his. No doubt about that. Where to move the outfielder, the infielder. That's something that they do, but even that's game plan. But I think even putting down to the lineup, putting a lineup in there, he knows, what the numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he makes those decisions based on that. And for those of you that don't like that, you work for somebody too. And you do things based on what your policy and procedures are. Brandon Hyde, Ed, is no different than anybody else who works for somebody.
No, of course not. I think I asked that question to Bordius. They just like, you have a boss. And sometimes they're influential of you.
His job, he can motivate the guys. Like for instance, Cedric Mullins. And I know he's not struggling right now, but I say he's struggling. And you've got those analytical numbers. You said should be playing here, playing there. Mm-hmm. It's your job as a manager to go over and say, look, man, you're struggling right now. Is everything good? Those are the things that you do that are outside the game. But I think the things that are inside the game, the things that are structured, those are structured with Brandon Hyde included on the meetings. It's not, managers don't have that full autonomy like they used to have. They just don't. No one does.
But again, I do understand why people get upset at certain things, because I get upset watching it going, hey, I wouldn't have done that. When we talked at length yesterday, Ed, and do you believe in hot streaks, Rob? Hot and cold streaks?
Yes. See, but analytics don't.
Yeah, the math tells you that it's not something that you can really buy into. Like, if you look up, especially articles on the hot hand, they use basketball more than anything else because I think it's easier to relate to, but it applies to all the sports. I mean, it applies to everything, especially baseball. And I buy into him. I think confidence, maybe it's not the hot streak, but it's a confident player, and that's who I want to play. When a guy gets into that mode where, like we've said, I played basketball games where it felt like I was throwing a beach ball into the ocean, like everything was going to go in. I didn't play in that many like that, but there were a few. And the same thing applies to these guys when it looks like the pitcher's throwing a beach ball and they're going to hit it. We've seen guys get on absolute tears.
And analytics don't believe in it.
And the analytics will tell you, yeah, it's just a little stretch here. It'll come back to fruition that he's not this guy during this so-called hot streak. But they're telling you it's not a hot streak.
Well, it is a hot streak. I don't care what they say. Honestly, I don't care. Because they're looking at cold numbers. It's just, we've all played at different sports, and sometimes you're just in a zone. You get that, and you mentioned confidence. That's when you play better.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you don't hesitate, even in football. I mean, that's my frame of reference. When you feel really confident, like you're really prepared, you're prepared for the other team, you're in really good shape, you're not injured, you don't hesitate to make a move. You don't hesitate for that first step, and that makes you better.
I remember Ed playing at CCBC baseball. I was so hot that in the midst of that streak, I had a check swing double. Check, ball went over the first baseman's head down the right field line, and I was picking him up. Seriously, sometimes it just is that way. You get so, there's nothing you can do. Jeremy, you probably had a defender on you, and you were almost horizontal to the floor, fading away from him.
Can I tell you my...
And the ball just goes right in. You just have that sometimes.
My favorite moment in one of the leagues we played in, we only had four guys, and we had to play this team 4-on-5. And that day, I could not miss. And you should have seen the look on the other team. It's like, guys, there's four people. They were double-teaming me, and I was still hitting shots. And this isn't... Look, trust me, those games are few and far between. But I had that day. So, yes, I buy into it, even being a math guy. But they say there's no such thing as hot streaks, whether you want to buy into it or not.
Yeah. 410-583-1057 is the number. But this theory has been around for a long time in baseball. I'm going to give you guys one phrase that backs this up.
Is it the phrase that pays?
No.
Oh.
It's you've heard it before. They say, well, he is what's on the back of the baseball card.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that before. Growing up, yeah. I did. You know what I mean? When guys start off slow, it's just he is who's on the back of the baseball card. That's the same mindset of the analytic people saying there are no hot and cold streaks.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he's going to be what's on the back of the baseball card.
But the thing I was going to bring up is, like, people are consistently getting mad at Hyde for doing what he's always done and what he's going to continue to do. You know, like, the lefty-righty matchup thing is going to happen. The one reason I had an issue with it on... So, well, the two reasons on Sunday is that I want to see the younger guys play. On top of that, like, I don't need to see Mateo in the outfield. I don't. You put Sed back out there, and you had a reverse splits guy, which I think there's enough data to tell you that lefties hit that left-hander better than righties do. So why would you stack it the other way? Because it's conventional wisdom that, oh, it's a left-hander on the mound. We got to put righties out there. They see it better.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. But at the same time, you know, you got to do what sometimes I believe feel comes into play. Joe LaCroix's encore at 9:45, but on the other side, it's the Daily Line.
Yeah, last night hit my top play overall, but went 2-3 in my top plays. Some really tough ones as far as the unders. Man, bullpens and extra innings have been just breaking my heart. We'll get into it. I'll talk about what went wrong, what went right last night, and give you the plays for today. We got a couple of huge weather spots. I'll tell you my favorite play. One hockey game, one NBA, and a lot of baseball coming up next.
Fire staring at Will Richard. Hands it off now to Uzan. Uzan on the right-hand wing. Stops with 7 seconds. Gives it to Cryer. 6 seconds to go. 5 seconds to Sharp. Top of the key. Lost the dribble. He's got to pick it up. It's scooped up by Condon. Condon secures it. And Florida found a way. From 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball. 65-63, the final. The Florida Gators are the national champions once again.
There you go. That's courtesy of Westwood One. Florida wins last night. I had the under in that game. That was my top play. We hit that. Also, what else did we have last night? I hit, here we go, Royals Twins under was the other one I hit. And then some frustration because I had the Dodgers and Nats under 8. And what happened there? They scored 5 runs between the bottom of the 7th and the top of the 8th. It's baseball. That happens. But when you're under the total and you've got all these damn breakpoints, as I like to call them, you had 3 there to kind of get it done, and you don't. Same thing happened the other day with the Yankees game, although I pushed when the Pirates were up 4-1, and then they give up 3 runs in the bottom of the 9th, top of the 9th. Thanks a lot, guys. Luckily, we were able to get the push out of that one. Now, the other games I lost the Cubs-Rangers game. The total was 6. We had the under. It finished 7-0. So just brutal there. You got the gem that you wanted from Justin Steele, and Eovaldi did not give us what we expected throughout the course of that game. I had the Orioles and Diamondbacks over. That did not hit. As we had talked about, I thought the Orioles bats would get going. I liked them to win last night. They did. I thought Gunnar would hit his first home run. I'm going to make that call again today. I think he hits his first home run today. It's coming, guys. It's definitely coming. And I think
you call it every day. It's sort of like
I'll get it right one of these times.
Cole Irvin.
Yeah. Well, there's no guarantee you're going to get him right for most valuable player ever. But I still pick him. So where are we going today with all that happened yesterday and looking at these games? We are going to start off in the NBA. This will be a top play for me. And again, I don't like making the NBA plays top plays down the stretch, but this is a total. Oklahoma City is favored by 14.5. I think they blow out the Lakers tonight. I think the Lakers are right where they want to be. You'll get some players rested, in my opinion. But even if you don't have a ton resting, I think this goes under the 226. I just think the number's too high, especially for teams that aren't really trying at this point or playing hard. You could see some goofy things happen, but there's so much money coming in on the over, I'm going to fade it and go under. In the NHL, I like Ottawa and Columbus to go over 6.5. Not a big play for me, just a lean. That being said, getting to baseball, here's what we're going to look at today. MLB weather, here's where it supports. Pirates under, Giants under. I am on the Pirates under. I'll explain that in a bit. The best weather spots, the White Sox under, the Nationals under, and the Twins under. Now, I'm not touching the Nats under, even though it is one of the best weather spots on the day. Not a lot of data to prove that. I think there are three games with similar data. But on top of it, it's not a great pitching matchup, and it's the damn Dodgers. You can throw out an average pitcher against them, and they could beat his brains in on any given night. So I'm not – they can win you. They can win a game by nickel and diming you with singles and base hits and walks, or they can come out and just hit bombs. And if the weather's not great, their pitching's still going to be good enough to keep them in the game, especially their bullpen. So I stayed away from that one. But I do like the other two spots. The Twins under is the best spot today, and we get a great pitching matchup. So I'll go over that in just a second. Here's what I like. I do like I like the Tigers -165. That's the early game. They're playing the Yankees. I think it's Marcus Stroman on the bump for the Yankees. This is it's Tarik Skubal going up against the Yankees, and I think people are betting more with their heart than their head. He can lock down that Yankees lineup. He's that good. And on the flip side, I think this Tigers offense, if you haven't been watching them, when they're facing a right-hander, that lefty lineup they have is pretty good. So I think Kerry Carpenter says hello to Marcus Stroman today. And speaking of some of the other games that I like the White Sox and Cleveland game to go under the 7.5. It's another really good spot. Weather-wise, it's not a tremendous pitching matchup, which is why I made it a lean instead of a top play. But my top plays to go along with the Lakers under are going to be San Diego and the Sacramento A's. It's funny, everywhere now in Vegas, you have the team name or the city that the team's from. With the A's, it just says ATH because they're no longer the Oakland Athletics. They're just the Athletics until they go to Vegas. But that stadium, every game in that stadium has gone over. But I'm going to tell you to take the under tonight. It's Dylan Cease. It's, the former Rays pitcher that's there now. Jeffrey Springs. Two solid pitchers, but at some point, Vegas isn't flinching on these totals. Mm-hmm. And they're keeping them around the same number. Now, it went from when they played the Cubs to, hey, they just scored 16 runs. They scored 14 runs. Here's 10 runs to, oh, that one snuck over the total, and that one snuck over the... I think tonight's one of those nights where Dylan Cease locks down the A's, and I do think that Springs can keep that Padres team at bay. You just got to don't give up the long ball, and they can definitely hit some. Jackson Merrill got the night off last night, so I assume he'll be playing today, but I do like that that under quite a bit. I love the Orioles tonight. I said it earlier. I think Charlie Morton pitches well tonight. I called it a gem. I don't know what I would...
What do you define gem, please?
Yeah. There are all different types of gems. Maybe this isn't a ruby or a diamond. Maybe this is more like... Well, sapphires are... What's a cheap gem, Ed?
Opal. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got an opal today. That's what I think. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
An affordable gem.
Yes. You could find one in an oyster, one of their pearls. But I do think Charlie Morton pitches well tonight against this Diamondbacks team. I like the Orioles to win outright, so that means they're taking this series if they do win tonight. I talked about St. Louis and Pitt, that game going under 6.5. It is a really, really good pitching matchup with Sonny Gray facing this Pittsburgh lineup. And you got Paul Skeens facing the Cardinals. And I think these offenses can be a little wanting. Weather helps, and it's a 6.5 points total there. Now, my favorite play today is Minnesota and KC under 7.5. You get the great pitching matchup, right? You get Cole Ragans versus Pablo Lopez. So terrific pitching matchup, and then the weather just supports everything. These are two guys that can get strikeouts. Give me the under 7.5 is my favorite play. Just to recap real quick, top plays, Twins under. I like the Braves to knock off the Phillies, another great pitching matchup there. They're minus 120 at home. I like Baltimore to win outright tonight. Padres and A's to go under 8.5, and Oklahoma City and the Lakers to go under the 226. So there you go.
There you go. Thank you very much, Jeremy. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Well, man.
I'm doing good. Man, my whole attitude towards analytics is this. What does it take to spell analytics? The first four letters is A-N-A-L, and that's how I feel about analytics. I think it's anal.
You think it's anal?
It really is. Some of it is analytics, manalytics.
You know, all it is information, man. The analytics aren't wrong. All it is information. You do with it what you want.
So they use it too, like Harbaugh uses it too much, and sometimes some of the stuff in baseball, like the speed off the bat and all of that, that's kind of like overkill, man.
Speed up the bat? What do you mean?
The exit velocity.
Speed off the bat, like you said, when it came off at 105 miles, that's kind of overkill.
You think that's overkill?
It's just telling you the ball was hit hard.
How many home runs come off the bat at 80 miles an hour?
But I'm saying, like, it's nothing.
It also tells me it's not new, but you didn't know it growing up. Hitters now have more a knowledge of whether or not they're on it. I could go 0-for-4, but they're telling me my exit velocity is 98 and harder every time. Then I'm going to go continue to do what I do instead of changing my batting stance and trying all these other things because I'm not getting the end result I want. Knowing the exit velocity tells me I'm doing the right things. I'm hitting it into the fielders. I'm hitting it into the defense. So it's not unnecessary. I mean, I don't know what level you play baseball on, but I would love playing college baseball to have exit velocity information because now I know I'm doing the right things.
You know,
I know
you're not hitting me. The ball on the button and
exactly.
Hitting it hard.
I know it's not me, so I'm not pressing. I'm not trying to change things. I'm going to stick with the plan.
I do inherently have a problem with people that just trash analytics because, again, it's information. If you don't like the information, it's one thing, but you can't tell me it's wrong. Like if I gave you the numbers saying this lefty hits this right-handed pitcher better than that right-handed hitter does, and I'm going to put him in the lineup, even though he's not as good a player as him. I mean, why do you think Ryan, every time we have a right-handed pitcher on the mound, Ryan O'Hearn's in the lineup. Why do you think that is? Because he has over 800 OPS against right-handed pitching. So you take a guy that looks very average at times if he faces right-handed and left-handed pitching throughout the year, and you only put him in the spots where you think he can succeed, you've seen what's happened with him here in somewhat limited opportunities. But there's always value in analytics, but I don't think it has to be the end-all, be-all.
I agree with that.
Maybe that's where Mike was going.
But I think it is more valuable than most give it credit. Well, not most. Than some give it credit. Because like you said, all analytics is a fancy word for information. That's all it is.
So analytical guys, Ed, don't like to bunt, right? You don't want to give up an out for whatever. Mm-hmm. But if it's 1-1 and we get to the ninth inning, what are they doing then? Because you're playing for one run. It makes sense. Then you're going to use that out to move somebody over and hopefully get a base hit. You don't even want to. Robert is shaking his head. But I get it, but you see teams do it all
swing
the time.
Away! Yeah. Swing away! Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. Button up.
Us, the guys that shower twice a day normally, I don't think this affects us. They're saying that a lot of times warm water makes the body kind of feel like you're relaxing and it's time to go to sleep. I don't get that. Because I can't function in the morning if I don't shower. And I'll turn that bitch as hot as it gets. I don't even mind taking cold showers.
Exfoliating soap wakes me up.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
But again, like I do find it.
And you use the same towel in the morning that you used the night before?
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing. We were talking about this too. Rob uses a towel, a different towel every time he showers.
Yep.
I was telling them, I said, my towel this morning smelled like my wife's clean ass. I was using that one. We share towels.
What does clean ass smell like?
Better than dirty. I tell you that much. Better than dirty.
And what does clean ass smell like?
I thought you were going to ask him. It's a sensitive subject. It's his wife's ass.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask him what my wife's clean ass smells like.
No, wouldn't do that.
That's messed up. Katie, I hope you're not listening.
Would not do that.
But,
Andy, of course, sponsored by the Lion's Den. Explore your limits. See what's out there. Test the possibilities. Pleasure, passion, romance. Check out Lion's Den. It's a great, great store for adult, let's say, pleasure. Just a great toy store for us.
I guess you're going through withdrawal.
Yeah.
No, I have the website up right now, actually.
No, he bought enough from him. Sometimes Lion's Den asks if they can borrow some stuff from Ed to sell.
And we sold out, man. We buy it back from you.
Oof. Ed's got his own store in his house.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
That's some nice stuff here. Lion's Den treated me well.
Yeah.
That's good.
I like the horsetail thing that you have. Do you wear that often?
Hey!
Oh, sorry. Oh, you know about it?
I must have it. Yeah. Don't tell all the secrets.
Yeah.
It's a unicorn tail, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. Oh, my gosh, man. Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. Ed Norris, what did you learn today, my friend?
Well, in addition to that officials are too involved in the games, in every sport, people are pissed off about what happened last night in the national championship, where there were 4,000 in the first half, 26 in the second. Just ridiculous the way they officiated that game. But nevertheless, one thing that is of concern, though, in a world stage that I think people should think about, do you guys know that Chinese soldiers were captured by the Ukrainians?
China.
Fighting for Russia.
Really?
Yeah. A couple of Chinese nationals were fighting for the Russians. Mm. We already know they had North Koreans. This is like, not good, man. Not good.
Mm. Well, I learned it yesterday, and I was saving it just for right now. Jeremy, tell me a little something about Cousin Warren.
Oh, so
I met Jeremy's cousin Warren yesterday, Ed. He is he was talking about your grandmom.
Oh, he's a really good dude, man. Like so Warren
tells great stories.
Warren lived with my parents for a while there, and the way that my mom tells the story is that he ate them out of house and home.
Right.
He was going, I think, to Kenwood High School.
Okay. Yeah.
And he ate them out of house and home, so my mom made a special batch of brownies that had a ton of Ex-Lax in it.
Wow.
And he went to school that day, and Warren can probably tell the story better than me because I wasn't there, but I think my man left a trail. It did not go well for him that day in school after eating half a tray of brownies.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So she did it on purpose?
Yeah, because he kept eating everything, and apparently they get it's my parents did the same damn thing to me. What's that?
Were no other way to handle this?
No, I thought you said cannabis. I'm like, no, I'd eat those. I'm not eating the ones with Ex-Lax in them.
He told me that Jeremy's this family stories. He's actually doing justice to his family. He's being nice.
Dude, everybody thinks I'm kidding.
Like, he said, no, he's being nice.
The stories I tell, like, none of these are lies. Like, you can tell when I'm trying to, you know, like, if embellish I'm trying to make a joke and embellish, but, like, no, my family's messed up, like, completely messed up. I'm the most normal one, no matter who you talk to.
Warren's probably right behind you, I'm thinking.
Warren's so good. He's just a great guy.
I genuinely had a good time with him yesterday, man. I was planning to leave. He told me who he was, and then planning to leave turned into another hour. Good guy. Also, happy birthday to Mayor Brandon Scott today.
Happy birthday. Is it my turn?
Yes, your turn now.
Well, they say 77% of people are idiots. Fortunately, I belong in the 33% of intelligent people. You guys can do the math now if you want and just figure that one out. So what do porn stars and truckers have in common?
I don't know.
They both get paid by the load. Moving on. Hey-ho, try to shrimp. I bought these shoes yesterday from a drug dealer. I'm not sure how they're laced, but I've been tripping all day. My girlfriend said she's had enough of me pretending to be an FBI officer and that we should split up. And I said, it's a great idea. We can cover more ground. I swallowed a bunch of synonyms today. I got thesaurus throat I've ever had. I bought my wife some new beads. Ed, hold on. It's not what you think. I bought my wife some new beads for her abacus. It's the little things that count. What's better than roses on your piano? I'm sure Ed knows this one. Tulips on your organ.
Yes.
You feel that one?
It's an oldie but a goodie. I do like that one.
A sweater I just bought was picking up a lot of static electricity. I decided to return it, and the guy gave me a new one, free of charge. And lastly, why did the porn star get into politics? Because they had no problem flipping positions on camera.
So what does your day look like down there in Florida today, Ed? Because it looks beautiful out here. I'm sure it actually is beautiful where you are.
No, it's for a switch. It's raining this morning.
Good.
But what's the temperature? I don't care about rain. Warm rain is
70s.
Fine.
Yeah, it's in the 70s.
Yeah, right now it's 37 here and high of 46.
Yeah, no, not here.
Yeah. Oh, it's a high of 46 we're going to get to today?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's a high. Just, what, less than a week after we were 70-something degrees?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Bipolar weather here in Baltimore. Bipolar. Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.